Welcome to the Palo Alto Weekly podcast, Behind the Headlines, the show that brings you insight into Palo Alto people and news. At nearly 50 years old, the Palo Alto Arts Center plays a unique role in the community. To guide the center in the future, the board last year adopted a strategic framework. And joining us today is Arts Center Director Karen Kinzel. I'm Weekly Editor Jocelyn Dong, along with Arts and Entertainment Editor Carla Kane. Talking today about the Palo Alto Arts Center, its unique role in the community, and a very special exhibit right now called Rooted Trees in Community, Trees in Contemporary Art. And joining us is Palo Alto Arts Center Director Karen Kinzel. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
It's almost 50 years old. I couldn't believe that, the Arts Center.
Agreed.
Founded in 1971. And it went through a renovation about 8 years ago. The board did a strategic framework planning process last year. So, Karen, would you just kind of give us an overview of the Art Center and maybe also your role in it?
Yes. So the Palo Alto Art Center was created by the community and for the community almost 50 years ago. And we provide a place for the entire community to learn, create, and be inspired. So the Palo Alto Art Center is your place to see and make art, to activate your creativity and expand your community. And we engage about 150,000 people a year through a diverse range of programs, free admission exhibitions, classes for adults and children, school programs, special events throughout the year. There's always something happening, something for everyone at the Art Center.
That's awesome. How long have you been with the Art Center?
I've been with the Art Center for 11 years, but I have a long history with the Art Center. I went on a Project Look school tour at the Art Center when I was in second grade that I remember. And then I also volunteered, took classes at the Art Center, worked at the Art Center briefly after graduate school, but I was able to come back in a leadership role in 2009.
Was your graduate schooling in the art or art curation field?
Museum studies.
Okay, great. Yeah. And you're a native or a local?
Right, yes, indeed.
Were you actually born in Palo Alto? Or?
I was not born in Palo Alto, but we moved to Palo Alto when I was about seven.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So I know a lot of museums are kind of considering their role in the community at this point, especially with digital technology, making art more accessible to people. How does that factor into your strategic framework? Why did the board decide to do one last year?
Yeah, so this was the second time the Art Center and the Foundation worked on a collaborative strategic framework. It was really time to really look at where we're going in the next 5 to 10 years in terms of programming, in terms of impact, in terms of fundraising, all of those pieces. But it's, you know, one of the things that we do at the Art Center are ceramics classes, and they're totally analog. And so I think that in a lot of ways, the Art Center has provided an alternative to kind of digital oversaturation for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Our ceramics classes are full with waiting lists, and I think it's in large part because people are looking for something to do with their hands as an alternative to digital oversaturation.
And so, the printmaking over the summer too. It's another one where it's sort of
exactly
old-fashioned, but still very very cool.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I have a relative who does the figure.
Yes, figure drawing drop-in.
Yeah.
That's a program that's been going on for more than 40 years.
That's amazing.
It's really incredible. It's an amazing community at the Art Center. It's a happy place for so many people in the community. And I'm so proud to be able to be part of it.
That's great. How, just to remind me, how does it tie in with the public art department for the city?
Yeah, so we're part of the Division of Arts and Sciences. In the Division of Arts and Sciences of the City of Palo Alto, there's the Public Art Program, the Art Center, Children's Theater, and the Junior Museum and Zoo. And it's part of the Community Services Department of the City of Palo Alto. And then we also have a private nonprofit. That's where the board is, that supports us in fundraising and advocacy.
Let's talk about the current exhibit.
Yes.
I know Carla wrote about it as our cover story this week, and I've seen it as well.
Yes.
And it's just spectacular, really amazing. Good. So the whole theme, let's start with that, trees in contemporary art. Yep. Where did this theme come from?
So we've been thinking and talking a lot about trees for many years at the Art Center. So there actually was an installation that was part of our opening exhibition that you may remember called The Palo Alto Forest that was by Angela Budding Philo. Mm-hmm. And it was a project where she asked community members to photograph a tree in Palo Alto that was meaningful to them and then write a 6-word story about the tree. Mm-hmm. She printed all of the images on glass and created an immersive installation that really spoke to the power of trees for individuals and for the community. So we've been thinking about that installation since 2012. And of course, at the Art Center, you know, we're in a campus that has extraordinary tree species. And yes. Do a little plug for the great canopy map that you can pick up at the Art Center. And we're actually really encouraging visitors to not only see the exhibition, but walk outside and actually see these wonderful tree species.
So this
species.
Is just for that corner for the campus on Embarcadero
exactly.
and Newell.
Exactly, and for the Rinconada Library adjacent. Okay. So that was one piece that we were thinking about. Also thinking about the importance of trees in Palo Alto. We're named after a tree. The city's logo has a tree that's featured prominently on it. And also thinking about the power of trees aesthetically, thinking about the symbolic potential of trees, and also thinking about the value that trees provide for all of us, for our community, and for us as individuals. Mm-hmm.
So this was a theme a long time in coming.
Indeed, yes. And I should also mention that we have an incredible relationship with Canopy, an amazing organization in Palo Alto. And we've worked with Canopy on a variety of projects throughout the past decade. But we've been talking about how valuable it would be to actually do an exhibition about trees, work with Canopy on that. And it finally came to fruition.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Indeed. Yes. Touche.
Carla, when you saw the exhibition, I'm curious what you mm-hmm. what were your impressions? What did you find particularly strong and compelling?
Yeah, I mean, I loved that there's an Oaks of Palo Alto booklet that you get to take with you and use. So as that's sort of the science side of things mm-hmm. that is really cool, you know, mixed with the more artistic side of things. And I like, yeah, I mean, it's just so wide-ranging in terms of there's things made of wood, there's mm-hmm. depictions of trees made of other things, and then yes. there's very specifically about trees themselves. So yeah. I like that it had all those different layers. Yeah. And even the outside of the building, you know.
Yes.
So kind of uses every bit of the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20 different artists.
Mm-hmm.
How does one choose... How does one find all this art to curate it and bring it together?
So we have an amazing curator and a great curatorial assistant, and they're always looking.
How long has Selene been?
Selene's been with the Art Center for about 5 years,
okay.
first as an exhibitions coordinator and now as curator. But we also have a team approach to exhibitions development. So a lot of other staff bring ideas for exhibitions, for artists for exhibitions. So actually the Galen Brown piece in the exhibition that's featured, one of the photographs in the article, they're Christmas trees, just the stumps that are hanging down. So Galen actually used to be the preparator at the Art Center many, many years ago before my time. So he was responsible for installing our exhibitions. And I saw a version of that piece at the Nevada Museum of Art this summer and was like, this needs to be in our show. And so I brought that to Selene. So the ideas for artists can come from anyone.
And it's a nice mix of, you know, artists from afar and then like Anne is a teacher at the Art Center and
Indeed.
Made this custom
yep.
piece. So
Indeed.
It's interesting.
We try to do that whenever possible, feature local artists along with artists from throughout the country and even internationally based artists.
There are a couple of pieces that really struck on sort of news or
yep.
on the contemporary issues.
Mm-hmm.
One was the Ember series
mm-hmm.
With the slices of wood and then, how do you say it, burned
uh-huh. yep.
pyrographically?
Yes.
Yeah, burned images of people who have been killed
mm-hmm.
In a police encounter.
And people of color.
People of color specifically. Mm-hmm. And one thing that kind of struck me was just how the rings of the tree inherently
exactly.
kind of evoke time,
yes.
Lifespan, that kind
exactly.
of thing. So there was that. And then there was also this Inferno
mm-hmm.
piece
yep.
made of glitter.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes. So so Azuzana Hernandez did the Ember series. And I think one of the things that we really wanted to include in the exhibition are works that really speak to the power of trees to provide memorial.
Mm-hmm.
So we think about how if someone passes, we frequently will plant a tree to honor that individual. And Azuzana's work really creates this beautiful memorial of these individuals' portraits that are framed so beautifully with the bark of the tree, the rings of the tree, again, reminding us of every year and these individuals whose lives have been cut short. The last piece is actually an empty piece, which really speaks to, unfortunately, a potential future victim. The Ember series, Jamie Fosta, is a painter who works entirely with glitter. Who has an amazing studio, every conceivable type of glitter. But that's a piece that speaks to a common occurrence in forests, fire, which is often a critical part of how forests regenerate, but can have profound impacts when those forests are located close to people.
Mm-hmm. I was at the exhibit on a day when there were school kids, and they were just gathered around that piece, and they were just so captivated. Just visually, it's stunning because of the reflection and the vibrancy of those colors. Yeah. And then they're also just curious, how does she get the glitter on there?
Exactly.
Because everyone has experience with
totally,
glitter.
Totally, yeah. It's a very...
glue gun or...
It's a common material. And I should also mention, in terms of memorial, there's another really wonderful piece by a New York-based artist in the show, the tree stumps, that are actually made of fabric. And when the artist was working on that piece, her father passed. And so she incorporated some of her father's clothing into those works. And so, again, thinking about trees as memorial, thinking about art making as kind of a therapeutic grieving process. Really beautiful work.
Yeah, that was very evocative. Mm-hmm. Like when you get up close, you see the corduroy and the other
it's
fabrics.
It's really hard to not touch it.
Yes.
I didn't touch it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I wanted to touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, very sinewy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'd say the installation is really kind of a spotlight for the exhibit. And here we have it on the cover. Let's talk a little bit about this because it's called The Woods, but not spelled W-O-O-D-S.
Yep.
O-U-L-D-S.
And that's a piece by Lauren Rothhope, who actually was included in our bird exhibition. She had an extraordinary piece that was made with Lee press-on nails. It was a depiction of a peacock. She's actually a former park ranger. So she's very much interested in nature. And then she worked on it with her partner, so her artistic partner and her life partner, Andy Diaz Hope. And this was a piece that was actually commissioned by the Contemporary Jewish Museum a few years ago for a project that was inspired by Jewish folktales. And this was a piece inspired by the Tree of Life. And so it kind of imagines a space that's between the terrestrial and the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And there are elements of the piece that are very kind of natural, but then many elements that are very artificial. Mm-hmm. But it is completely immersive, and there's sound and light, and the artist encouraged me to have my lunch in there and kind of chill out, which I haven't yet done, but I should.
Listening to them talk about the folktale was so interesting, kind of like these birds that sing to your soul as it's coming down from heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a video which kind of shows their process in preparing.
My daughter watched that many times for the part where the cat runs through the tree.
It's really idyllic, their studio.
Yeah, I mean, it fits so well with the installation.
Yeah.
So I know we talked about the origins of this exhibit, but how long does it actually take to decide, okay, we're going to do it, to when you're putting it before the public?
Yeah, so typically months. And depending on where works are coming from, if they're coming from artists or if they're coming from museums, some of those loans have to be coordinated 6 months in advance. And depends on the exhibition, but generally it's months.
Yeah. And do you have the situation of wanting a piece, but it's occupied? It's already
sometimes, or an artist has made a commitment to feature a work in another exhibition, or an artist is kind of overextended and has too many pieces out there, or doesn't have work available. So those are all kind of the realities of being a non-collecting institution working with contemporary artists.
Yeah.
I should mention that one of the things that we've been able to do, thanks to the foundation, is that we've made a commitment starting this year to compensate all the artists that we exhibit, which is a really important piece for us because we see that artists are a huge part of our audience and we want to support them.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 20 artists in this exhibit, did you start with 40 that you wanted, or how do you get it down?
Yes, often. So kind of you start with a lot. And there's some works that are cost prohibitive in terms of potentially installing them or shipping them. Fine art shipping is incredibly expensive for institutions. And so that it can often become a hindrance. So yeah, there's a wish list that Selina usually is working with, and then it gets pared down based on the realities of budget and our space and our staffing.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly have some large installations, the hanging Christmas trees, the gigantic black and white paintings that look like photos. Right?
Yes. Indeed, yes.
Yeah. I could not believe that someone was able to, you know, go into that much meticulous detail with just black and white.
Yep. Yeah, those have been a real surprise for many.
Yeah.
It's like, really.
And they're so big.
They're massive. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Well, also big was the cell phone tree painting.
Scott Green. Yeah.
Yeah. Using the theme, but to really comment on technology and cell phone towers that are trying to be trees, but really aren't.
Yes.
But then also kind of taken over by nature. Nature will have its way.
Yeah. Indeed. Yes.
In the end.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. The other artist that I just want to mention that is a highlight in the show is Meridel Rubenstein. So she this is a series that she worked on where she was juxtaposing the oldest trees in Vietnam with the oldest trees in the United States. And the oldest trees in Vietnam are revered and worshipped and cared for. The oldest tree in the United States is the bristlecone pine that's 5,000 years old that's in California. And its location is undisclosed. Closed because there are concerns that rangers have about it potentially being destroyed. So just looking at how trees are treated in different cultural traditions and different countries is really fascinating.
Yeah. And her photo is just so powerful.
Indeed.
I mean, all the contours of this tree, and this is the Vietnam tree.
Exactly.
Just mind-blowing. Yeah. And to have just the tree itself, you know, not the comment about the tree, not the artistic interpretation of the tree, but the tree, you know, I think is very necessary.
Yes.
In this kind of exhibit. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have multiple exhibits kind of in the works? Even now, you've mounted one. And like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so actually, this morning I was just having a conversation with a couple community members about a show that we're working on for the summer, which is focused on identity and textiles. So we were talking about who should we be talking to, what community organizations should we be partnering with. And then, of course, we're gearing up for our 50th anniversary, which includes a variety of programming. So we're very much looking at 2021 in terms of how we're engaging the community, what we're presenting, how do we kind of reflect back on the founding of the Art Center, a time when a group of community members felt really passionately that the Art Center needed to exist, and they worked to make it happen. And how do we kind of tap into that kind of sense of collective potential?
What came out of the strategic framework that really sets you kind of on a path for the next 10 years or so?
Yes. So certainly on the foundation side, a real emphasis on fundraising to allow the Art Center to do more in terms of community engagement and programming. And then on the Art Center side, the community engagement piece, furthering and deepening our partnerships. So this is a great example, working with Canopy to really be able to expand what we do, our impact in the community. So I should mention, we're working with Canopy on an Arbor Festival that I invite everyone to on Sunday, March 15th. It'll be from 1 to 5. And so this is a free event for all ages. There'll be art activities. You can ask an arborist your questions about trees. There will be safe harnessed tree climbing, a variety of opportunities to celebrate trees. So again, it's the Art Center and Canopy. Typically, they would do this event separately. We would do a family day. We're collaborating to make more impact in the community.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting. Is there anything else that we haven't asked you about? I'm sure there's plenty, but about the Art Center and what's going on now.
So the exhibition is up until April 5th, and I encourage all the community to come out and see it. We've really received a very strong response to the show, and the show has really resonated with people in this community. So I encourage folks to come and see it, and I encourage the public to visit our Arbor Festival on March 15th as well.
That's sounds great. And Carla, in Redwood City, I know that you mentioned another related, thematically related exhibit.
Case of very good timing. So downtown Redwood City has this art kiosk, which is right on the Courthouse Square, where for the past about, I guess, a year now, they have an installation each month. And it's all glass, so you can go see it day or night. And it's interesting, you know, what can work in that space, because it has to be able to be seen that way. And right now they have a really interesting art piece called You Are the Tree. And it's basically a redwood tree stump fashioned out of pulp made from byproducts from local businesses, local people. There's theater props, beeswax from the library, coffee grounds, hair,
beer,
beer hops. So they turn that all into this paper mache, and it's a redwood stump. And then there's a living redwood in the center that will be planted in the park. And it's sort of a comment on how the city was founded on the basically destruction of old growth redwood trees, and how, what are the implications of that, good or bad? You know, it's a flourishing city, but what does that mean ecologically? And
yeah, I think there's some photos of what as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of photos of their process. It's very interesting. Another painstaking process.
Indeed, a really fascinating project. And I should mention that Nanette, one of the artists, was one of our printmaking artists in residence last summer. So she did a tree related piece when she was working with us.
Well, fascinating to talk about all things art. Thank you, Karen, for being here today.
Really, I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, that wraps up this edition of Behind the Headlines. If you think there are other people who are interested in this topic, just share the link on email or social media. To stay up to date on Palo Alto news, go to paloaltoonline.com. We'll see you next week.